kind of sprung something on Mike a little bit early, and he probably wasn't real comfortable leading this song. But would you turn to song number 640? It's one of our standards that I think we've sung for many, many years. And I have a lot of songs that I count as my favorites, and it sounds kind of funny to some people. How many favorites can you have? But this is definitely one of those. 640, it's I Love the Lord. About 6 years ago, I preached a sermon based upon these verses. You probably remember, some of you might at least vaguely remember it. And I was going through some of my old sermons. I'm kind of purging some of them, and I'm updating some others. And I looked at this one. I thought, man, what a great one to do. Let's just go back and do this one. And like I said so often, I will take a song, sermon, and I'll spend a lot of time reworking it because I didn't like the way it worked, and sometimes taking stuff out, adding stuff. This one I just left alone. I just went over it and I said, you know what? It works the way it is. So turn in your song and let's sing song number 640. What we'll do to speed things up a little bit, we won't do the chorus until the very end. We'll sing all three verses of 640 and then we'll do the chorus. Make sure I'm not blowing everybody out. I'll step back.
I love the Lord, for He died my soul to save. On Calvary, His dear life He freely gave. From realms above, Jesus freely came to die, that I might live. Someday with Him on high. I love the Lord, for He saved the lost from sin. He gave them life to be whole and free again. To live on high with Him never.
Songs we just sang, I love the Lord, for He died my soul to save. On Calvary, His dear life He freely gave. From realms above, Jesus freely came to die, that I might live with Him someday on high. There are two fundamental thoughts concerning the sacrificial life and death of Jesus contained in this verse here. Jesus died to save sinners. Jesus died to save sinners like me, that I may have that hope of living with Him one of these days. First Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7. Paul, writing to this young gospel preacher, said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ came into the world to save sinners." Now listen to what Paul says. "Of whom I am chief." Paul looked at himself and thought of himself as being the chief among sinners. And certainly with his past, you can certainly understand how that might be. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, look again at his past life. I can understand why he would feel that way. He persecuted the church. He held the garments of those who stoned Stephen to death. He consented to their death. He had them put in prison. In some cases, they were put to death. Certainly, I can understand how he'd feel that way. But he wasn't the only one that wrote like this. John wrote in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 10, "If we say we have no sin, we make God a liar, and the truth is not in us." Now, we don't really make God into a liar, but we're calling him a liar because God said all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Folks, until we each personalize, in the sense, the death of Christ, until we apply his sacrifices to ourselves, we are never, never going to have the kind of relationship with Christ that we can have, that we should have. Next, this verse speaks of the free expression of the sacrifice of Jesus' death. Please note here that not all sacrifice is willingly given. There are sometimes sacrifices made that literally have to be extracted from people. I mean, they're just not really willing to do this. But I want you to notice that Jesus freely gave himself. Jesus went to the cross knowing what was going to transpire. Jesus went to the cross understanding the circumstances and what was going to happen to him, yet he came anyway. Jesus freely left the glories of heaven to come to this earth knowing that Mount Calvary was waiting for him, a cross was waiting for him. Notice Luke chapter 23 and verse 33. "And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him." Very simply put. John chapter 10, 15, and then 17 through 18. Jesus said, "I lay down my life for my sheep. And therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. And no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself." That tells me that the sacrifice of Jesus was going to be a willing sacrifice. He knew what was going to happen and he did it anyway. You didn't have to browbeat Jesus into giving his life on the cross. In fact, he would even tell in John chapter 19, verse 11, he'd tell Pilate, "You can have no authority, no power over me at all, except it be the case that God the Father had given it to you." Jesus freely made the choice to leave heaven. He made the choice to come here. He made the choice when he got here to continue his life to the point where he would die on the cross for us. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. We learned there that Jesus, being in the form of God, did not consider it to be robbery to be equal with God. In other words, he did not consider it a thing to be wrong in any sense of the word to have that equality with the Father. But listen to what it goes on to say. "But he made of himself of no reputation." In other words, he reduced himself from that pure state of spiritual being and took upon himself, listen, the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. That's humility. That's a free, willing sacrifice for us. What a great lesson we can learn there. How about verse 2? In that song, in that verse, we sang this: I love the Lord, for He saved the lost from sin. He gave them life to be whole and free again, to live on high with Him nevermore to die. Oh, praise His name, we'll see Him by and by. Here we want to look at three basic thoughts real quickly. Jesus saved the lost from the devastation of living a life of sin. Jesus came into this world. He offered us that opportunity that says we don't have to be a slave to sin. We don't have to be a slave to Satan. He gave us another path. We ask the question, man is lost, in a lost condition, but why? You know, some people have various answers to that. Some people simply say, well, because we're not keeping God's commandments, or because God said so. But you know, the truth of the matter is, it is because of our transgressions. We're lost because we transgress God's law, not because we're not keeping His commandments. That's a different route to take. It is His truth that is going to set us free. If we're ever going to live in such a way that we are outside of His commandments and therefore not transgressing God's will, we're going to have to obey the truth. Remember John chapter 8, verse 32? Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It'll make you free. Jesus prayed that His disciples would be sanctified by the truth. Remember what He said there about God's Word? Your Word is truth, John 17, verse 17. So you couple these two verses together, we can know the truth, and we know that the truth is what? God's Word, and that Word can sanctify us, make us separate people for God, separated, by the way, from a life of sin. We don't have to be obligated to a life of sin. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Remember there that Jesus said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. Jesus told his self-righteous followers, and when I say that, the Pharisees, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. He said, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Folks, if somebody is so righteous, if somebody is in such a great state with God, they didn't need the blood of Christ. The Pharisees had this mindset that they were just a cut above everybody. That they really had become arrogant in a sense. And Jesus, for lack of a better way to put it, He cut them down to size here. Those who are well don't need a physician. Those who are sick are the ones who need a physician. So what did He say? I didn't come to save the righteous. If you consider yourself righteous, you don't need to be saved. But I did come to save sinners and call them to repentance. We see those two passages in Matthew chapter 9 in verse 12 and again in Mark chapter 2 and verse 17. Folks, only in Christ can we truly be whole and free from sin. During the Lord's ministry here on earth, through His miraculous powers, He made people whole physically. He calls those who were blind to be able to see. He called those who were lame to be able to walk. He was even went to the point of those who had already died, like Lazarus, and was able to call him back from death to walk on the face of the earth again. These were all physical things. These were all miracles that caused people that had physical infirmities, either blind or lame or whatever the case may be, and in cases didn't even have to see the person. Didn't even go to see them. even could call a man forth from the grave. Those were all physical. And if we saw those things transpiring today, we would be amazed by it. And if we were one of those who received that kind of miraculous manifestation, if we were lame and the Lord could make us healed, or we were blind, He could make us see again, we would be so grateful for that. But folks, by far the greatest blessing in this entire world that comes from Christ is, in fact, being made whole spiritually. And that's what we're talking about here. To give us life, to make us whole again in a spiritual sense. Jesus spoke of Himself in John chapter 4 and verse 10 as living water. And Jesus, as that living water, came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. We see that in John chapter 4 and verse 10 and John chapter 10 and verse 10. Jesus came into this world not to heal us physically, though again, if you lived in His day and age, and certainly if you were one who had received such healing, you would be probably unbelievably grateful for that. He came to save people from sin, the most devastating thing you can think of. A lot of times I wish somebody could come along and just heal me, and I wouldn't. I could see again without contact lenses or glasses. In some cases, both. But you know what? That pales into comparison to the spiritual healing that He offers. Folks, this salvation that is only found in Christ results in the eternal reward of heaven. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28? Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. In other words, there's eternal rest waiting for us. You think you're burdened down? You think life has become laborious? He says, I'll give you the rest. Rest from a life of sin. Yes. And necessarily connected to that life, free of sin, a home with God. Folks, Jesus promised eternal life to those who truly followed Him. Jesus promised eternal life to those who would truly follow His will. He talked about in Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, he would lead those to the righteous into life everlasting. Verse 3, let's take a quick look at that. And again, we have 2 points here under this one. This verse says, I love the Lord for His love so full and free. He taught us why that our love like His should be. To be like Him and compassion freely give, oh bless His name, we then with Him could live. 2 quick thoughts on this and the lesson will be yours. First of all, let's talk about the fullness of Christ's love. Why do we love the Lord? First of all, let's emphasize this. We love the Lord because He first loved us. John talked about that. Book of 1 John. But talking about the fullness of Christ and His love, think about John chapter 3 and verse 16. And we oftentimes, as the world does, focus in on what Jesus is saying. And He says, for God so loved the world. But it goes back then to Philippians chapter 2, 6 through 8 that we just talked about. While God the Father loved the world so much that He gave us His only begotten Son, we need to remember sometimes that Jesus loved us that much too. Jesus loved humanity. He was in the form of the Word in heaven, that He was willing to leave that and come here. What a marvelous picture that is. May we never forget that Jesus, as the Word, was a willing participant in His own death. As we talked about just a moment ago in the other verse, His sacrifice was willing. He did it willingly. Nobody had to browbeat Him. Nobody had to drag Him to the cross. He knew what His responsibility was. He knew what His job was. And He loved us enough to do that. Aren't you thankful that it wasn't just a matter of obligation? Aren't you thankful that it wasn't just a matter of having to do something, just a responsibility? While God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, it required at the same time Christ to leave what He had to do that. John chapter 15, verses 12 through 13. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another." How? "As I have loved you." Want to know how we're supposed to love each other, brothers and sisters in Christ? Think about the sacrificial death of Jesus. How much did Jesus love us? He says, "I want you to love each other even as I have loved you." And He goes on there, He says, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend." Would we lay down our life for our brothers and sisters in Christ? That's the level, that's the degree to which Jesus says we're to love one another. That you love one another as I have loved you. And again, we go back to Philippians chapter 2. How much did He love us? He loved us so much, literally. Christ loved us so much that even though He was on an equal with the Father, absolute pure spiritual form, and residing in the perfect place, so to speak, heaven, He left it. That's how much He loved us. And once here, He went about the work. He knew He was not going to be accepted. We talked about that this morning as we looked through Isaiah 53. Many of His own kinsmen, His own brothers, fleshly brothers, didn't believe who He was. He was rejected by the vast majority of people while He was here. But He came anyway. That's love. And not only did He come on here, but then when it came time to go to the cross, He expressed His love one final time for us. And that is that He went to the cross and He died there for us. But our second point on this verse, there is the compassion of Christ for mankind. How many times do we go to these passages where it says that Jesus had compassion on them? He looked upon a multitude of people who were out in the wilderness, and they were listening, they were hungering to hear the word, but they hadn't eaten, and He had compassion on them. And even there are times when it doesn't say that He had compassion on them, you look at various circumstances and you know that He had compassion on the people. He could look upon people with this heart that said, "I feel their pain, I hurt for them." Too many are the passages that speak of Christ's care for His fellow man to even mention here. But suffice it to say that Jesus was deeply compassionate toward the poor, toward the weak, toward the afflicted, toward the hungry. And in this, He sets a perfect example for us. We need to have a compassionate heart too. And finally, you look at the chorus of this song. Folks, truly, no greater love has ever been demonstrated toward man. Never. And it'll never be equaled. It'll never be matched. He gave His life so that we might be freed from the death that sin brings. And as the Apostle John mentioned, as we noted just a moment ago, we love Him not because we loved Him first, but because He loved us. He first loved us. What a great series of lessons, great thoughts we can come from this particular great hymn. As often we say, you know, these hymns offer some great insight. And we always need to make sure that when we're singing these songs, that we're singing songs that are scriptural. that are teaching the truth, but here's one that I don't think anybody could argue with. I don't think anybody could look at that and say, well, I don't like that song because it teaches this or it teaches that. What a great lesson. If there's anyone here who's never been obedient to the gospel call, why not tonight? You know what you need to do to be saved. Become a Christian. We put your Lord and Savior on baptism. We encourage you to do that. Maybe you need some more discussion. Maybe you need some more time. But let's seriously consider the great love of God and the great love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in that decision. If there's anyone who's never been obedient to the gospel call or one who is a child of God and needs to come back to God, won't you come right now as we stand and sing this song?